This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundworks, the magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Hello. Welcome to this, the 12th edition of Sound Blast, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society's download, the totally non-visual magazine. I'm Sandy Simpson, I'm right here in Bowness in central Scotland with the indefatigable David, by the way, the editor, producer and roving reporter for Sound Blast. And you might call this the SRPS equivalent of The Big Issue, for this entire edition of Sound Blast is devoted to a single topic, Murrayshire. We'll hear from a former fireman. We'll learn how the wheels came off the engine, and we'll learn how she was put back on the rails. Let's start by going back to the spring of 2011, to the first stages of the work on Murrayshire.
Hello, I'm Brian Thompson. I'm in charge of the lift today with Murrayshire. We're lifting the tender and the locomotive to get the wheels away for retiring and reprofiling. We've also got two cranes in on hire to do this job, and we're just getting set up now.
Well, the heavy cranes were back in November to put Murrayshire back on her wheels. First, the tender was swung into position. Donald McLeese was watching.
The tender for Murrayshire has now been lifted off the crocodile wagon between two 50-ton cranes right in front of the water tower. It's a lovely morning with blue skies, and the tender without its wheels, of course, is looking very pristine against the blue sky. It's about 15 feet in the air now. I think they're going to swing it out of the way so that the wagon can be shunted back. The D165 shunter is now moving just directly beneath the tender, which is suspended in mid-air. The tender's being lowered back down towards the ground now, and here come the wheels. The three sets of wheels being rolled underneath in preparation for lowering it onto its wheels. The wheels have been away for tyre turning, and the opportunity has been taken to give them a nice coat of green paint to match the tender, so they're looking very smart. These are going to have to be positioned exactly beneath the horn guides. So ever so slowly, it's lowering down onto all six axles, which are exactly engaged. That's it, almost there. And the weight I can see is off the chains and the wire sling, so it must be there, and I think everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. Yep, it must be down.
We've reinserted the wheels into the tender. The tender's now down the yard, but at the moment, just getting ready to lift Murrayshire off its temporary bogies, and once we've done that, we'll move the temporary bogies out the road and we'll run the wheels in, and hopefully we'll lower the engine back onto its wheels, and that'll be it.
The whole point was to get the wheels fixed.
The wheels were away to South Devon Railway, having new tyres fitted to them on the driving wheels. The tender wheels were just being reprofiled. That job's been done. When the wheels came back, we sent them to a local contractor who shot blasted all the crap and the paint off, and they've now been repainted. So we've done quite a lot of work since March or April it was when we lifted it.
I've got with me here Peter Dryden, who's in charge of the heavy lifting of Morayshire back onto its wheels today.
We're about to sling it, get it slung, change down through the cab roof, through the vent, and they're going to the pulling bar, and then there's two slings on the front, on the lifting eyes on the front of the frame, as tackle goes through, and they take it. The end, the front end of the engine, the locomotive, is 22 tonne, according to the weight on the crane, and the cab end is 18 tonne. So it gives you approximately 40 tonne.
So that's 40 tonnes weight sitting there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, minus its wheels and wheels, side rods, obviously.
Yes, the front set of wheels weighs 5 tonne, according to the weight you can take on the crane, and the rear set of wheels are 3 tonne.
I'm Stuart Summers, assisting put the wheels under the Morayshire. I'm just rolling the wheels under the locomotive now, which is suspended with two cranes. Mm-hmm. To gently roll these wheels underneath, make sure everything's clear, make sure everything's safe. This is a production. I'm just going under the locomotive now, watching for clearance. Just taking it easy. Just rolling underneath. Line it up with the locomotive forms.
Earlier, Donald Lindsay's captain, Arthur Stewart, was fired by Arthur celebrated his 90th birthday at UNS at the end of October. He was involved in the role between 1939 and 1945, and following that, he joined the City of Barbary Police Force, where he attained the rank of superintendent.
The remarkable thing about Archie is that he's 90 years of age, but still has a very clear memory of his days on the railway.
I worked on the LNER from 39 to 45 at the Perth Depot. We had various types of engines. Not a great lot because we were in competition with the LNS, who were only a few miles down the way from our depot. But we had various freight engines, small ones, and several passenger engines, one of which was 246 Morayshire, D49 class. We had one or two other shires, Aberdeenshire, Perthshire, and Forfarshire, I think. But Morayshire was the one that was more or less resident at Perth. And I was firing it for those years, usually from Perth to Edinburgh via the Glenfarne line.
Ah, yes.
Which is now closed.
Yes, that was a very steep gradient from...
10-mile gradient from Perth up to Glenfarne, which was a testing time for firing the engine.
I think the gradient was 1 in 70. 10 miles of 1 in 70.
Was it 1 in
70? 1 in 70, yes. So that would be a hard job for a fireman then.
Yeah, once we got to Glenfarne and on our way to Edinburgh Waverley, it was quite reasonable for firing purposes. There used to be a women's army camp near the Forth Bridge, and they were always out looking for coal for their fire. So occasionally, if we got great big lumps of coal, we would push them off the engine as we passed by, and they would come and collect it once we passed.
Oh, very unofficial, but...
Very unofficial.
Yes, I'm sure they appreciated it.
My engine at the LNER was 246.
That's the Morayshire.
Morayshire, which
we have here at Bowness.
You have it now at Bowness.
Yes. Now, why did you like that one in particular?
This was a good engine, mainly because she was a good steamer.
Right.
She was a good steamer, and she was never any bother with her at all, except on one occasion, we had got a load of bad coal, which was called wellwood. It just would not burn. But if it was mixed with Glen Craig coal from Fife, it was a great burner and you got plenty of steam.
Yep.
But on one occasion, on the passenger train, halfway up Glen Farg, we had to stop and blow up.
Raise pressure with the blower, yes.
We had to put the blower on, and the driver was down having a look at the dampers underneath. And, of course, we just had to wait until we got the steam up. Once we got steam up, and we got into Glen Farg, and we managed to keep the steam going all the way into Edinburgh, and we coupled off the train in the Waverley, went back to the depot at, what's the name of it?
Haymarket.
Haymarket.
Yeah.
And we got a load of good coal at Haymarket. You always got good coal at Haymarket.
Yeah.
Because they had a tremendous variety of engines. Streamliners and the big ones.
And the drivers that you worked with, were there any characters there? Any good ones or bad ones?
Well, we had a driver, by the way. His name was Newbury Joke. Now, he was a friend of my father's, and he put in a good word for me when I was applying for a job. So I got a job, first of all, as a cleaner. And from there on, I got on to the firing. But Newbury Joke was quite a character. He liked a dram, and he got too much, of course, but he was never under influence when he was driving the engine, but he didn't get an awfully good name, and sometimes he was a bit rough. He always drove the D49 engines, and he was a bit rough at times with the engines.
He gave the passengers a bit of a shaking, do you think? Or
he would put
the throttle.
In full gear when he should have been in a lower gear.
Or the reverser, the reverser he would... reverser, yes.
Of course, the poor fireman, his fire was ruined because it was all shunted to the front and he had to start building it up again.
Yes, or blown out the chimney.
And it blew a lot of cinders out the chimney. And the one thing that I did find out was every engine had their own particular way of firing them. The Shires, they had their own way. The other good engines had their way of firing them. That was one lesson I did learn about how to fire engines. It was hard work, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes. And then the war came along. Did you have to have any particular changes in the way of working for the wartime?
The wartime came along. There was an order came out that we had to bring down the sheet. We had a big sheet from the cabin down to the tender to cut off the glare so the planes wouldn't... see it. But on one occasion we were stopped on the 4th Railway Bridge because of an air raid. Now there was an order that no train had to be stopped on the bridge, but for some reason we had a freight train going to Ardsperth and it was stopped on the bridge. But the raid passed and it didn't affect us, so we got on from there. Mm-hmm.
That would be a bit worrying, I think, because you couldn't very well jump off and hide in a raid shelter or something.
We couldn't do anything other than just sit and hope for the best.
Yes.
That was the only one occasion during the war years. Of course, there were other occasions. We had to be members of the Home Guard. Mm. And we had to guard our engine depot. And we had to guard the goods yard. And we had to guard a part of Perth Station.
Mm-hmm. And the LMS engine shed was... the LNER engine shed, was that to the south near Frierton or Moncrieff?
The LNER engine shed has been demolished now, although the British Rail use it for instructing the drivers of the diesels.
Oh.
Or the electric trains, I don't know which. But it was about maybe half a mile from the LMS depot.
Mm-hmm.
It was a much smaller shed. And of course, as a fireman, we got all types of other jobs to do, to help out the fitters to do various jobs on the engines.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to know bits and pieces of the engines.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after you did your job, maybe Perth to Edinburgh and back again, you had to lay by your engine. So you had to clean out the fire, rake out the firebox. The shires had drop grates,
mm-hmm,
for putting the fire down, and then we had to re-coal her, and we had also to fill her with water.
Yep.
And then bring her back into the shed.
Yes.
Memories of Murrayshire. And now we're back to the big lift involving Murrayshire. Brian, how's it gone?
Well, everything's gone according to plan, more or less. We had a wee bit of a problem with the springs. We had to take the springs back off before we could get the wheels in. But we're just at the middle minute finishing off putting the springs back in. And since then, this afternoon, we've rewheeled number 19, our second austerity. It went more or less as it should have, apart from one or two little snags. But we've sorted it out, and we've just finished putting the loco back in the shed and sent the cranes off. And in between times, we dismantled a couple of bogies for the carriage and wagon department to release some wheel sets for the branch set.
So it's been a busy day, all in all.
A very busy day, and we've made best use out of the two hire cranes.
And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. In the next edition, we'll be hearing again from Donald when he goes up in the air. We'll learn about railway mania in the Scottish Highlands, and we'll hear about a locomotive splasher. Not forgetting something from an 80-year-old committed enthusiast. Meanwhile, you can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, all lowercase. That's, can I get it right this time? www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at soundblast, two words this time with initial capitals, soundblast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. The tireless roving reporter, editor and producer has been David Bytheway. And I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Scotland.